The hour of 12:30 having passed, I will call to order the Higher Education Finance and Policy Committee. I apologize, session went long, but you can blame the speaker. So, with that, do we have a quorum? We do not have a quorum, so what I will do is to move House File 3144 to be referred to the Ways and Means Committee. And I'll explain what the bill is and then what we're doing. This is the Higher Education Supplemental Finance Bill. It addresses a one-time funding issue out of the 2013 budget, and it will convert that particular $17 million to an ongoing base adjustment. It also, I hope, clarifies once and for all how budgets will be presented to the legislature, that we will never again have an issue over whether or not a sum of money is ongoing, operational, and contractual expenses, or something new that you might want but that isn't needed. We addressed last year, as I think everyone in the room knows, base adjustments for both the University of Minnesota and MinSCU by freezing tuition at the rates those two bodies wanted. We then made selective investments within our targets. What was left over, we invested, for instance, in the $17 million that's now being converted to a base adjustment. So with that, we have three people that wish to testify. So the first I have on the list is the MinSCU Board of Trustees, Mr. Vekic. Welcome to the committee. And please identify yourself for the record.
Yes. Good afternoon. For the record, I'm Mike Vekic. I'm a member of the Board of Trustees of Minnesota State Colleges and Universities and presently serve as the chair of the Finance and Facilities Committee. Chair Pawlowski, as you know, Chancellor Rosenstone cannot be here today because a previously scheduled Board of Trustees meeting that is going on as we speak. However, I am joined today by Trustee Cheryl Dixon, as well as several members of our presidents from colleges and universities, as well as colleagues from across the system. Chair Pawlowski, members of the committee, I am here today to thank you on behalf of all of our colleges and universities, Chancellor Rosenstone, and the Board of Trustees for the work you do to support the success of our students and the communities that we serve. The bill you are considering today will advance the outstanding work of our faculty and staff, recognizes the critical role of our colleges and universities play in ensuring access to an extraordinary education for all Minnesotans, and helps ensure that students from all backgrounds have the opportunity to create a better future for themselves and their families. Mr. Chair, we look forward to continuing our work with you and the committee, Governor Dayton, the House and Senate leaders in advancing this investment in higher education. Again, thank you for your support of this bill. Thank you.
Thank you. And I understand the Chancellor may be announcing something that deals with Southeast Technical College today, and that's why he's down at the MinSCU Central Office. So I await that announcement, and hopefully it'll be an excellent choice. Vice Chancellor King, did you wish to say something, or are you just there for moral support?
Mr. Chair, I'm just here in the event the committee has any questions.
Are there any questions? Seeing none, I want to thank you again, and I would hope that the trustees would make regular visits to this committee, particularly when we're dealing with budget items. This is the first year that we have seen the trustees at the committee and active, and remember, last year was the budget year.
Yes.
So just as a reminder.
We will be here, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
Thank you.
Russ Stanton. Welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself for the record.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Russ Stanton, Director of Government Relations for the Interfaculty Organization, which is the state university faculty. And I'll be brief. I basically wanted to say thank you. This is the best two-sentence bill I've seen in decades going through the committee. You know, over the last decade, I've appeared many times before higher education committees. complaining bitterly about the disinvestment in higher education and the fact that the state support for instruction at our state colleges and universities had fallen from 67% down to 39% of the cost of instruction. And the cost was shifted onto the students and driving up their tuition and driving them deep in debt. Last session, you did something historic. You bent the curves in the right direction and started closing the gap between state support and student support for higher education. And I just wanted to say thank you. This might be my last opportunity to appear before this committee, but I do want you to, you know that people recognize that you did something historic last session, and it touched the lives of hundreds of thousands of people in a very positive way. And thank you very much.
Mr. Stanton, thank you, too. It has been a pleasure to work with you over two decades. And so I'll ask you a question. When was the last time that the House increased funding for higher ed in both the budget year and the non-budget year?
My memory doesn't go back that far.
The chair had hoped it would. It would have pleased the chair if you could have remembered that. But still, even not, thank you very much. It has been a pleasure. And if you are retiring, we hope that your retirement is as successful as your career has been here. So thank you. I next have the president of the Minnesota State University Association, and I'm not too sure how to pronounce that name. So I'm going to let you pronounce it first. So welcome to the committee, and please identify yourself for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, committee members. My name is Adam Klepitar. It's fairly phonetic, actually. Okay. And I represent over 800 Minnesota State University Association of Administrative and Service Faculty, many of whom are here with me today. Or more simply, we go by ASF. We're the third faculty union within the MinSCU system. We're also proud to be affiliated with the Teamsters Local 320. One of the wonderful aspects of this partnership is our combined interest in issues that transcend higher education. I'd like to also begin by thanking you and this committee for your ongoing commitment to the students of Minnesota. The folks I represent are working to help students succeed in and through college. I appreciate having this opportunity to share some of the important work our administrative faculty do working with one-on-one with students every day. Our members work to facilitate student learning both inside, but more often outside of the class of traditional university classroom. We work with students from recruitment to graduation. We help them with financial aid. We advise them academically and through hundreds of student organizations. We live with them in the residence halls and keep them safe through campus security, plan service opportunities in our communities, celebrate successes, and listen to tearful eyes when things are going wrong for our students. In my personal role as the director of first year in transition programs at St. Cloud State University, I've had the opportunity to coordinate our programming for the most academically at-risk students coming into the institution. And I've been doing this since 2008. In this time, I've seen SCSU students who many other institutions of higher learning would have turned away. And we've graduated them in 2.5 years. They've become student government president. They've won large scholarships through work in STEM fields and in persistent at higher rates into their second year and earn higher GPAs than many of their counterparts. At SCSU, we're working to revolutionize the way that we approach student success. We've begun creating predictive analytic models that help us understand which of our students are most at risk to end up on academic warning and fail to persist into their second year. And struggle to complete degrees. So we're working hard to help all of the students who come into our doors, we talk about our access mission, be successful as they come into school. We believe that this leads students, we help lead these students into internships, connections to small businesses and community partnerships. We also are helping bridge the gap to successful pathways in college and lead to stronger communities both as economic engines and social agencies, as well as helping students reach their personal goals. I've had the opportunity to work with hundreds of students that have come through our door in this matter. One of them, actually, the students that I've worked up grew to be the vice chair of this committee, which was a pretty wonderful thing for me. A different student that particularly jumps out to me is one that started at St. Cloud State University after being told that she wasn't college material by both her parents and her guidance counselor. Instead of going straight to college, she decided to go and explore Europe for a number of years. This student returned to the U.S. and began her education at St. Cloud State University. Her high school GPA was barely at the point where we could admit her, and her ACT score was also below average. However, someone in ASF, our union, saw potential in this young woman. In her first semester at St. Cloud State, she obtained a 3.49 GPA and volunteered over 50 hours as a big sister in a local school. And in subsequent years, she has maintained a relationship to her little, started a student organization based in community service, and she graduated this past year. These are the types of students that cross our paths every day, and because of our ability to connect students to faculty, staff, and community members that meet their needs, we can help them be successful. It is the mission of all of our Minsky universities to serve Minnesota students, and part of that mission is to provide access to an excellent university life to anyone who can successfully provide evidence of their talent. Our students are not going to drastically change, but to reach our goals, our work needs to. Because of this, we support the governor's supplemental budget proposal, which will enable students to succeed at all Minsky colleges and universities. Our common goal is to educate Minnesotans so that they can live and work enriched and productive lives. Our members aren't rich, and we aren't, we're not in this work to become rich. We're in this because we care about our students, and like you, we care about the future of Minnesota. As president of ASF, I truly believe that our members are as responsible for the success of university students as anyone and should be rewarded for their talent and dedication. So thank you very much for the opportunity to speak with you.
Thank you, President Klopitar. And I think Representative Dorholt has a motion for us.
I move that the minutes of March 3rd and March 5th be approved.
Any discussion? Seeing no discussion, all those in favor of the Dorholt motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Representative Dorholt, do you have anything to add while you have a former professor here?
Thanks for joining us, and just the work that, like you said, the third staff faculty union doesn't kind of get overlooked sometimes, but the work they do is vitally important, especially to today's students.
I also enjoyed the visit of members from Winona State, and I would hope that you would keep those visits up on a yearly basis at least, particularly during the budget year. We are in a totally different mode, and the mode that we're moving in, I think, is extremely productive, but it does take the raising of revenue and resources. None of this happens unless we raise revenue and resources, and then we invest them the right way, and only you can help us make that investment. Any future discussion? Seeing no further discussion, I'm sorry, Representative Gruenhagen.
Okay,
how could I have missed you?
Thank you, Ms. Chair. We're on 3144, right?
Okay.
Okay, just a couple clarifying questions. The money's going to come out of the general fund, correct?
That's correct.
Second thing, we allocated last year in our two-year omnibus bill enough for a 3% raise. Is that correct?
We addressed the 3-3 tuition increases that Minsky had wanted. The issue then became three other areas that they had beneath the tuition increases. And if you remember, there was equipment leverage, there was teacher retention, and I think there were internships. Those were, I think the way they were presented is new programs. It was not clear that in the teacher retention there were contractual and operational expenses. And I think over the last 10 months, Minsky has finally clarified their budget of May of 2013. This will not happen again, and the language that we put into the bill that was passed and signed by the governor, the language crafted by the legislative auditor, there has to be articulation of contractual and operational expenses, and those have to be crystal clear. And I hope it's understood by everyone in the room that we are going to address these budgets directly, but there can be no PowerPoint fluff. And there isn't going to be anything that's concocted to try to sell a particular legislature anything. The time now is to make investments, to make difficult decisions. We're willing to make them, but we have to be told exactly what the money's going for.
So just point of clarification, was there money in that omnibus bill for raises or wasn't there?
Representative Gruenhagen, you ask a question that I could answer two ways because I was a debate coach. If I were on the affirmative, I would answer yes. If I were on the negative, I would still answer yes. I would think there was, but given what leadership and the governor now want us to do, we are making another base adjustment in the Minsky budget. A base adjustment moves forward.
Okay.
So this is historic, and I believe the last time I remember this being done was in the late 90s. That's my recollection of the last time this was done.
Okay. So. Okay. Yes. Thank you for that clarification. Okay. That was my understanding also. And according to, you know, our research, we put enough money in there for a 3% raise across the board. So my comments are based on that assumption. The other thing I understand, there's three bargaining units in this, and I'm not trying to point the finger at any one of the three. It's just a general comment, okay? But, you know, when I look at this, and then I look at the wording we had in the statute, and I think you referred to it, it says, to the extent that appropriations under this subdivision are insufficient to meet obligations contained in a labor program contract, the Board of Trustees shall fund these obligations through reductions in costs associated with central administration of the system and executive administration of the individual campuses, or through reallocation of non-state funds received by the system. To me, that's pretty clear. Hey, you got this much money. If you're short someplace, you're going to have to make the adjustments. And, you know, I guess I just want to remind the committee of my previous testimony as a public school board member. What I seen, and as you know, and I won't tell how many years I was on there, but I was a chief negotiator for 6 years. And what I seen is, if we got $50,000 in new money, then the settlements would come out to $75,000. If we got $75,000 in new money, then the settlements would come out to $100,000. And if we got $100,000, then we get, you know, and then people would say to me, you know, school board member Glenn Grunhagen, why don't we fully fund education? I said, you know what, I agree with that statement. But how are we going to fully fund it when no matter how much money we get, you always want to take a little bit more? Because the game that's played both at the state, federal, and local level is we've got to bankrupt this government institution, whether schools or city or whatever, so in 2 years we go back down to the state legislature and say, we're broke, we need more money. So that's the dilemma. And to me, we vote for this. We're rewarding bad behavior. They have to make the tough choices and realize they have to live within what we passed 2 years ago. So I urge the committee, regardless of your political affiliation, don't reward bad behavior. You're going to get the same thing all over the place. Let's send a message that when we pass a budget, you've got to live within it. And, you know, they came here for more funding for fixing buildings. Fine, I'm willing to do that. But, you know, to take more money out of the general fund when people are who pay these taxes have a hard time paying their electric bill, hard time paying their gas bill, hard time providing for their children, and then we turn around and reward this type of behavior, I guess it's disappointing. Again, I don't want to point fingers at any particular unit. I think the process is broken, and we need to fix it both at the K-12 level and at higher ed. Thank you, Mr. Mr. Speaker, but Mr. Chairman.
Representative Gruen, you make an excellent point, and it's taken Minsky 10 months to clarify language that they presented to this committee that was supposedly their budget. When they presented their budget, this was in a category where it was not clear that this category was going to be for contractual and ongoing expenses. We gave them 3% and 3% increases in tuition. What they should have been asking for is 4% and 4%, maybe 5% and 5%. That's not what they asked for. We gave them a base adjustment. I, like you, assumed that base adjustment was going to cover all ongoing expenses. In the future, this will not happen again. And I'm looking at trustees in the audience, and I hope that they will be nodding their heads. Yes, there will be a different way to present these budgets. They will be presented with crystal clarity. And if it takes X amount of tuition to fund them, then you tell us what it takes. But in categories that would appear to be new funding for new programs, we're not going to be stuck in this situation again. We are fortunate that we have revenue that we can use at this time, and we are going to use it. But in the future, this cannot happen again. And if this chair is still chairing, it won't. Representative Grunhagen.
And I don't want to get into debate with you, Chair Pawlowski, because I know you could beat me, okay? Chair Pawlowski, you know how much I appreciate you and how much I've learned from you and being on this committee. But, you know, I trust your comments. I believe that's your intent. But I'm going to have to go with, you know, I trust but verify. I'm going to have to see it. After watching this process for 16 years and then seeing this here today, I'm sorry. I just can't support this until I actually see that it's going to be corrected. Thank you.
Representative Brenner.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This may not be the appropriate forum to get into an extensive discussion of the kind of ideological issues that have been put on the table, but I simply want to say that I appreciate your clarifying the way in which last year's budget did encumber some dollars that weren't clarified, and the importance of clarifying that in the future I understand, but I think it's totally inappropriate to impugn the integrity of any of the bargaining units that have come to the table in the process with the Minsky system and the negotiating process itself. That's not what's at fault here.
Representative Briner, we do not negotiate contracts. And I think what has happened, particularly with this particular $17 million, it has been used inappropriately in the negotiating process and then as some type of lever to acquire the money. That is not why the money is there. We are not negotiating a contract. Those contracts have been negotiated. They have to be funded. So I agree with you. We're not impugning anyone's negotiating ability here, nor will we get involved, although we have in the past gotten involved in negotiations and contracts, and it hasn't been a pretty thing to watch in committee or on the House floor. So I agree wholeheartedly with you. That's not the point of this. The point is that we are rebuilding integrity in our budgets, and we are going to maintain that integrity. And this is one of the unfortunate mistakes that was made, but it will not be made again. Any further discussion? Seeing none, I renew my motion that House File 3144 be re-referred to Ways and Means. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, nay?
No.
Motion prevails. Any further discussion? Meeting is adjourned.